The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Woo-hoo! You know what's crazy?
What?
We're both wearing new socks.
And? Oh, I thought yours were Aritzia.
No, mine are from Amazon. They're just called Hue, but they're really nice.
They're probably the same exact wholesale blank.
Yep.
It's just Aritzia upcharged and put their name on mine, and then yours stayed OG.
Literally, I got 6 pairs for $8.
Oh, foot lovers, you're gonna love this one on visual.
They're fresh socks, so I'm
yeah,
like
we're
happy.
Both fresh. I haven't worn these yet. Woo!
Mine are half crew.
Oh, mine are whole crew.
Complete crew.
100% crew. Yeah, these are nice. I love these. And I'm wearing aloe leggings. I'm just like a clean girl right now, but like not at all. I actually didn't shower this morning.
Clean cheerleader.
Oh, yeah. And I have, if you're on visual, check it out. Explain it, Alex.
This is a Jams button-up jacket.
Like a little cropped bomber.
It's a bomber. Yeah.
Cropped bomber.
And if you don't know what Jams is a national, it's a company. I was going to say competition, but it's a whole like institution at this point.
Oh my God, that sounds crazy.
But it is, right?
Like, I just think mental. Institution.
I think an institution applies to more than
yeah, I guess you're right.
Than the loony bin.
Anyway, hello everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
I didn't know I could feel like that.
Today's Monday, and if you're not listening Monday, then happy day.
Happy Tuesday. I'm drinking coffee.
I thought you were going to keep going.
No, look at, I'm 1 inch into this 5-inch coffee cup.
Is it hitting?
I'm manual breathing.
Okay. Is that a good thing?
No.
Is your headache gone?
Yes.
Okay.
But like, I'm geeked.
Will you continue to drink it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I got vanilla. Do you want to try it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they added French vanilla.
Yum. Did I not say last episode, though, like, I'm just so done with caffeine. It's just, and then this morning, Alex, like, I'm going to Dunkin'. Do you want anything? I was like, iced coffee. Yep. Ooh.
It's good, huh?
In the best way possible, that's gas station coffee.
Yep. This is 7-Eleven coffee.
I was just going to say, it tastes exactly like the 7-Eleven French vanilla, and I used to get that before our gigs. You know, the 7-Eleven across the street? If you don't know, Alex and I both worked for a DJ company, and we would have gigs Fridays and Saturdays, mostly Saturdays. And it was across the street from a 7-Eleven. So we'd go like fuel up before our car ride out to what was usually Burlingame or
45-minute car ride.
Yeah. In whichever direction in the bay. And French vanilla iced coffee from 7-Eleven and a tuna sandwich was my pre-fuel.
Ew.
A 7-Eleven tuna sandwich.
Yeah, that's gross. Have you ever gotten the hot dogs that like spin on
for days probably?
Really?
Yeah, they're probably on there for...
No, I mean, you've had one?
Yeah.
I've never had one. Ooh, the taquitos are really good.
Taquitos, the pizza's good.
We were a big... 7-Eleven. We wouldn't go to 7-Eleven to get their food, but we were a big Costco...
Oh, like the
cafeteria?
Yeah.
Food court. Costco food court. We frequented the Costco food court
Which
a lot.
Which one?
In Vallejo.
Oh, for...
I'm talking about when I was a kid. Like,
I'm talking about for gigs. Oh, I'm still not done in Doyle.
I'm just going back in time.
Okay, go ahead.
The one on Monument was my go-to Costco there, though.
I just didn't fuck with Costco. I wasn't a Costco family.
No?
We're Safeway. Safeway.
Yeah, you were pretty deep from Costco, too. But I'm surprised you didn't go when you go to your grandma's house.
Well, my grandparents did.
Yeah.
Like, their whole fridge. Till this day, my grandpa is like, I got this from Costco.
You don't need to shop at Costco for one person.
Your wife is gone. Oh. You live alone. You don't need to shop.
You don't need bulk items.
Bulk mac and cheese that'll last him years.
Right.
And then, I actually don't think we told you guys this. My grandpa sent me, it was actually really sweet. When I was growing up, God, I'm so caffeinated, dude.
Yeah, we're bouncing around.
when I was little, for every family, you know, Thanksgiving, whatever, holiday, it was at my grandparents' house. and I would make little name tags for everybody. And over the years, my grandparents kept each name tag and we would reuse them. And then if, you know, 1 year someone brings like like every single one of my boyfriends was in that stack too. Like it shows the evolution of like who's come in and out of the family.
Right.
And my grandpa sent me all of them and he sent like a note along saying, what, remember what the note said? It was something really sweet. Just like
he came across them at he was like, better if you had them or yeah. something.
And he said like, time goes on, but like, we don't forget who sat at our table and whatever.
It was a really sweet message.
It was really sweet. And then there was one small note that said, dinner on me tonight. And it was a box of Kraft mac and cheese. I was like, fuck yeah. And I think it was that night or maybe the next night. Alex is like, are you going to eat that mac and cheese? Like, can I have it? I'm like, oh my God, go ahead. She eats it, makes it whatever. And then he kind of started not feeling well, right?
Well, no, while I was making it, I noticed that it had expired in 2021.
It's 2024 right now, if you're listening to this in the future.
Right.
Or the past.
Oh God. Don't make me go there.
Oh my God. The way that like exhausted you.
Yeah. Because I started to think about it and I really had to stop my train of thought. 2021, the box had an expiration date of 2021. Yeah. And I'm actually in the kitchen and I yell at Kristen and I'm like, you think this is fine? And you were like, it's processed cheese anyway.
And like, it's dry, it's dehydrated. Yeah. Even I'm sure there are real like milk enzymes, but it's in my head, I'm like, it's dehydrated.
Right. It's like canned goods at that point.
Yeah. Or like astronaut food.
Right.
All just like dried.
Well, I ate it and it was not so good.
She hasn't been the same since. Actually,
I actually haven't had a box of Kraft since, and
not sure I will. It's my grandpa's fault. Yeah, after my grandma died, we obviously were like at his house. My sister and I like stayed there for a week, prepped hella food for him, like cleaned up, kind of just like, you know, rearranged the space as much as we could. And when going through the fridge, like every sauce was like 2018. My grandma died in 2020. So like everything was expired. We were like, oh, fuck.
Dated. I feel like things just lit, especially at old people's houses. Like my grandparents too.
Yeah.
Like actually the last time I was at, maybe it wasn't the last time, but recently when I was at my Oma's house, I found the announcement of my birth.
That's so cool.
It was a little card and my mom had sent these out to people announcing my birth and it was...
What a cute thing to do.
But it was so cute. I have a picture of it. I'll find it. It was in the perspective of Vince. So it said, I have a little sister now. And it had like all of my birth details. Oh. And that's actually how I found out.
Were born.
Right. Shit. That's why I'm here. That's how I found out I'm a Capricorn rising. Because I always thought, my mom always told me I was born at 11:15 a.m. But I wasn't. I was born at 3:33 p.m.
So she's Cap rising.
Yeah. I used to think I was Sag rising, but my whole life's a lie, basically. Yeah. But yeah, the fact that my Oma had that for, how old am I?
28.
28 years.
That's something like, of course she's not going to get rid of that, though.
But it was like on her coffee table.
Oh, like it was like
in a stack of paper. No. Oh. Just like in a stack of like magazines. Like it was just, she just has things everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like an archive in her house.
Yeah. My room's already starting to look like that. I can't imagine what I'm going to be like.
Yeah. When I'm older. Once you have like your house and then you start to have decades of like children and grandchildren.
I'm going to be putting shit in the walls.
And you just like accumulate things. And like every time I go over to my grandparents' house, she always has something to give me. Mm-hmm. And it's always like, this is what your great grandma used to use to knit. And like, it's just everything.
I noticed that too. And that's got to obviously be like a common practice here with the old folks, because even my grandpa, like, he is always passing something on to us. Like, it's like they're like cleaning their house out, knowing that like their life is, and I don't mean this in like a icky way, but like their life is coming to an end within the next decade or so.
It's definitely that.
It's like nesting, but like the opposite.
And my Oma has actually said that the last couple times that I've gone over and she's had things for me. She was like, I just don't want these things to be thrown away, so I gotta start divvying them out now.
I mean, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. When I get to that age, that's when I will start doing like escape room type things that like nobody's gonna find until I am dead. Ooh. And like freak people out.
Yeah.
Like actually put like, stuff in the walls and like
leave trails for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
That's cool. We should do that for each other now.
Start now?
Like scavenger hunt shit.
I just have an idea, but I'm not going to say it out loud because I want to do it.
Ooh.
What if we have the same idea? And then we run into each other.
We should do a scavenger hunt in Yosemite.
Ooh.
We usually find a
bear. Bring a bear back camp.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
We'll do it.
Two hands.
I'm so excited for Yosemite.
Me too. We're going to Yosemite this summer, everybody. Are you jealous?
Do you want to tell them about our 420 adventure?
Oh my gosh, you guys. 420. Ooh, hold on. Big stretch. Ugh, 420 was so fun unintentionally.
Yeah.
We didn't really have any like crazy plans or expectations because I wasn't smoking weed for the past like a little over a month, to be honest, just because. And we went and got brunch that morning.
So this was the first weekend that we have had. Usually you guys know we record Monday episodes on Saturdays.
Uh-huh.
This was the first weekend that we've had where we had Monday's episode already recorded. This was our first Saturday, Sunday off.
In a very long time. In a very long time, which felt so good. Like, wow, we should pre-record more often.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I get why people do that. Like, a lot of podcasters will bulk episodes, but I think we've told you guys this. Like, we
like talking to you guys, like in the minute. Keep it
relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. And we always will, but I think we're taking our Saturdays back.
I'm taking my Saturdays back.
We're taking our power back.
Taking back Saturday. Get it?
Isn't that a band?
Sunday.
Oh.
That was the joke.
That's a good joke.
Thank you. Anyway, we went to brunch that morning at Artisano, the best Peruvian food in the city. I've never had any other Peruvian food place in the city, but I'm going to say this is probably still the best.
Oh, my mouth's watering right now. Literally. If you go, it's called Artisano. It's down in Fidei, right? Fidei?
It's Tribeca, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. It's down by New York. Civic Center. And it's in New York City. And literally go and order absolutely anything off the menu and you will be so happy.
What everybody does at every restaurant ever.
But
order
anything off the menu. But you won't be disappointed. Like, you know, there's so many restaurants out there where like I'll go and I'll order a few things, but like this is bad.
Yeah.
And I won't order that.
Yeah.
Actually, this place has not one bad thing on the menu.
Nope.
Oh, the steak roll.
Oh.
Ooh, I want that. We should go for lunch on Monday. It's supposed to be 85 degrees.
We should go for lunch.
Okay.
Like during the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
by the time you're listening to this, we might be there.
We might be brunching. Anyway. Or lunching. Sorry. I'm super caffeinated.
I know. I'm freaking out.
Saturday, we went to brunch and then we had a little cute little cocktail. And the plan was to just go to brunch and then kind of go, huh? Oh, no. We're going to go to brunch. And then we were going to go to this Malin and Goats little pop-up weekend thing. It was their anniversary. So they were doing something down in Soho where you go and you get free samples or whatever. So we signed up for that. So the plan was to go get brunch beforehand. So we went to brunch. We got a little cocktail and
their drinks are hella good too.
Oh my God, their drinks are so good. And we decided, well, we need another cocktail before we go to Malin and Goats.
That's the thing with us. It can't just be one.
No.
The second you and I get a buzz and we're in the same room together, it's that look we give each other.
Yeah, we're like,
and we're like, should we go out?
What can stop us?
And nothing did.
Nothing's stopping
us. Please continue.
So we decided to hop on a bike and go to, it's called The Ready. It's on the rooftop of the Moxie Hotel.
It is so fun.
Oh my God. It's this really nice.
We'll be there all summer.
All summer. It's this really nice rooftop. They play the best music. It's one of those ones where they like retract the ceiling. So it's like really outside. And best music. We had another little cocktail there. And then we ended up going down to Soho and just kind of like walking around. And
we went and peeped the Malin and Goats thing, thinking we're going to go. Malin and Goats? I don't know. But the line was so stupidly long.
Yeah.
It just wasn't worth it.
For free samples, too. And, like, it was really nice out, so we kind of wanted to just stay on our vibe. And we were like, ooh, you know what sounds good right now? Ice cream.
Soft serve
ice cream.
Yeah.
And we looked up a place. It was just around the corner.
Soft Side.
Yeah, it's called Soft Side. It's Prince and what's that one?
Mulberry?
Mulberry, yeah. I think.
I think.
And we're on our way, and we notice a cute little street fest right there outside of Upside, which is the pizza place right next door.
It was popping, too. Like a 10 by 10 stage, like relatively small stage, but it had this, like, DJ going. Everybody was just, like,
vibing,
smoking, vibing, kind of, like, dancing. And, like, they had blocked off the street, so obviously no traffic's going through or nothing. And we're like, oh, my God, what is this? And we're walking up to Softside, and I look to my left, and I was like, I think that's G-Eazy. And I was like, oh, wait, yeah, it is. It was totally him. He's
always around.
He's always around.
He's always doing something.
We noticed, like, in the stars, in the universe, the soul contracts before the three of us, me, Alex, and G-Eazy, came onto this earth. There had to have been some type of
something was written
collab. Something was written in because, and we won't get into all the details because it's not all of ours to say, but like G-Eazy has crossed our paths so many times with our close friends. His uncle was a teacher at our college. Like, just, it was just one of those weird connections that every time we see him, it's always like against our will. Like, right. We never like seek, I've never been to like a G-Eazy show.
He's like, always like, and he has
great music, but I wouldn't say I'm like a fan, like a crazy fan. Like,
and if you don't know, he's probably like 6'5". So every time we do see him, it's because his head's like popping out of a crowd. Yes. And we're like, that head looks familiar.
Yeah, we're like, there's young Gerald.
Right.
Have we ever spoke to him? No.
No, but once.
We spoke to him there?
Yeah, at Tana's birthday.
I don't remember speaking to him. Maybe I was
weird.
But yeah, it was one of those things where we're like, why do we always cross paths with this man? Whatever. So we're like, oh, there's G-Eazy. I was like, huh, I wonder if he's like going to perform or something.
And so the plan was to go
get soft serve. It was like 3:45 at this point.
Right. And we were like, oh, this is the perfect place to like post up and
be there at 4:20.
Right. So we can all spark up. I don't smoke. And we,
okay.
So we're standing there and was it before or after?
After.
It was after.
Because we went to Kith.
Right. So we went and stopped at Kith and then went back so that we were at the stage at 4:20, and it was dope. Like the DJ was playing good music. Everyone was smoking. It was a little underwhelming.
But we're also used to the way the Bay Area celebrates 4:20, and like you go to Hippie Hill or Dolores and it's crazy.
And it's like one big cloud of smoke. Like, yeah. I actually looked around at 4:20.
There was not a lot of people smoking.
No. And you would think. But then after Kristen smoked, we kind of walked off and there was like stands and stuff. So we were walking away. But then we hear the guy on the mic on the stage go, all right, everyone give it up for Young Jock. And if you don't know.
You know who Young Jock is.
Go look
Maybe
up.
Maybe not by name, but go look at his discography.
It's YUNGJOC.
You
on
know
Spotify or whatever you use.
Shout out Bangers. Young Jock.
Shout out Young Jock.
So we break our necks and we're like, Young Jock? And like finish our ice creams real quick. And then, mind you, our hands were so sticky.
I was standing there and you know how when your hands are sticky and then you use a dry napkin to like wipe everything?
So it's just like the fuzz of the napkin.
But it was like my hands were paper mache'd.
Yeah.
It was really gross. And I'm standing there like.
We're just like bobbing like with our hands up.
Lean with it, rock with it.
Just awful. But he was great. He was
so good.
So fun. And it was just such like a random performance to run into.
And his music, like all of his hits dropped in like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And you could just tell he's just like a dad now.
Yeah.
Like he was on stage and there's actually a kid close to us towards the back who was kind of going ham to his songs. And he stopped for a minute and he was like fucking with them, like dancing with them.
He had good crowd work.
Yep. Great crowd work. And you could just tell he kept saying like, God bless you all. Like everyone go get some pizza. Yeah. Like anyone want to take a shot after this?
Yeah.
He was just a vibe.
He was so, so cool.
He was really cool.
So yeah, we stayed there for a little bit and then met up with your boyfriend once he got off work. And then at that point we were like, what a vibe we're on right now. Like we can't go home. because your original plan was we would go home and you two were going to go do omakase.
Yeah.
So we still had some time. It was, you know, a little after 4:20 at this point. And we went to the Mother's Ruin, which is a good bar. And it's one of those bars that, like, a lot of bars in New York do this, and restaurants. They open the walls be like big windows.
They have like big bay windows on both sides of the front door, the front entrance. And there's booths.
There's booths there, and they're always taken though. But we walk in, we order our drink, and just opens up.
It was perfectly.
And the three of us sat, we played cards and just like had a few more cocktails. And then it was just a vibe at that point. We went and just like bar hopped throughout the night. They canceled their omakase. So I was like,
we got charged.
How much?
$60 a person.
I could throw. That's my fault.
No, you don't have to do that.
I have to throw a little something because I was like, come on, guys, cancel.
I was on the phone. We were sitting in that like bay booth and I was on the phone with the omakase place. And I was like, can we please move it to tomorrow? Like we can't make it tonight.
They charge you for moving it?
No, we moved it. And then remember, we canceled Sunday because we were hungover.
Oh.
And we had a day Sunday.
That I have to say that one is on you guys.
Yeah.
If it was if you got charged for moving it though, I would have thrown.
Yeah. It was because we moved it to Sunday and then Sunday we ended up having like a whole other day out.
Yeah, Sunday was fun. Sunday we woke up. I really was not that hungover, which I was very scared. Like I told you guys, like since my birthday hangover, I've been like terrified that that's my destiny now. I don't think it is. I think my birthday was just like crazy.
I think that was a whole mix of things.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So this one, I stuck to just tequila sodas. I didn't fuck with like sugary cocktails and I was totally fine on Sunday.
Right. So I had like brain fog.
You did cocktails though.
Yeah.
You had a few like the grapefruit one. That was really good.
True, true.
But we woke up and then we went back down to the Soho area and we got some impressions done on our teeth for some grills.
Yeah, we're getting some gold mouthpieces.
Yeah, we got them from the M Jeweler.
Jewelers. M Jewelers.
And then we went and got.
And then we went home.
We went and got banh mi.
Ooh, yeah. We went and got some Vietnamese food and then we came home and played board games. My boyfriend's friend from elementary school.
Which is crazy.
Which was so cool. Yeah. He came and visited from the Bronx and we all just kind of sat around, played card games and played Hues and Cues. If you don't know that game, get it. It's so much fun.
It's so fun. Satisfying.
Watched a movie and then called it a night.
We watched Unlocked, the prison documentary, or experiment or whatever.
It was crazy.
That's a crazy one. If you haven't watched it, it's definitely a really cool experiment. I'm hoping more prisons do it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like still implemented.
I think it. Did you finish?
Yeah.
Okay. At the end, it said it was still doing it.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if it's spread to the whole.
Oh, like all the different
units.
Units or whatever it's called.
Because they only did the experiment on one unit in the prison,
right?
Or jail. I don't think it's a prison.
What's the difference? Is it just
prison
long-term?
Prison is like a federal institution.
I do not know.
And jail is where you go in the interim, like while you're getting your sentence and everything. Prison's that's the full ride.
It's my biggest fear. I don't ever want to go to prison. It just seems scary.
I think I'd be fine.
It's purely like I could be friends with the brick wall. I'm not worried about like community being locked up.
Yeah.
That is actually my biggest fear.
You have claustrophobia, whereas I feel like that might be my paradise.
Yeah. You feel like this is really nice. Just give me a book.
Literally.
Yeah. You'd be really good at prison. No, I would not.
I would get bored.
Yeah.
Like I'd want to be outside.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I could do like a low security.
Not up to you at that point. I see. Can I request a little something?
Can I go here, actually?
I won't be here anymore. Another good show where we finished is, I'm sure you've heard of it all over everything, Baby Reindeer, you guys.
Oh.
It's so good. And we didn't learn until like later in the season that that's actually the guy whose story it is. Richard Gatt. Yeah, I think that's it.
Something like that.
God. Incredible writing, incredible acting on every actor in the fucking show. It's so beautifully shot. It's heavy. I mean, it's a true story. So like it's the most beautiful and raw it can ever get.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a show to watch. I would say look up trigger warnings before. It's definitely heavy in that way. But to tell your story is one thing, but for Richard to, we're first name basis, for Richard to be able to literally reenact what I assume is one of the most traumatic things he's ever been to is so crazy. And my perspective, I'm like, that's ultimate healing right there, dude. Like he's getting
his power back.
Yeah. And you're able to like relive it, turn it into art. And also like, I know this show helped a lot of people with their own traumas that are aligned, like to be able to take your darkness to that, like it made the show 10 million times cooler, better, amazing. It's
the whole time I was amazing. Just like on the edge of my seat, so enthralled. The acting was incredible. Before we even found out that it was his story, we were like, this guy's gonna blow up. The acting is so fucking good.
Uh-huh.
Highly recommend. Yep. 10 out of 10.
It was so good. Is that a Netflix original? Do you know?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Netflix.
Yeah. And it was one of those ones where it's very understated. Like it's called Baby Reindeer. And then the description is it skims the surface of what the story is actually about. And I just kind of clicked on it. And then Kristen was out at a workout and she walked back in like 20 minutes into the first episode and I gave her the rundown. I was like, this show's crazy. Like we should watch it. And we sat there and we finished it in like 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days. It's good. They're short episodes really too. Good.
Yeah.
Which I like. I feel like I'm noticing that in shows. Like for a minute we were doing like hour and a half episodes. Like think of like Euphoria and shit, right? And now I feel like a lot of TV is going back to the short episodes.
Yeah. I like it better.
I think it's because our attention spans are withering away.
Yeah, let's not get there. Let's not go there.
Well, I have faith,
please,
that the attention spans of those of you watching or listening right now are still healthy because our episodes are always like at least an hour.
That's so true. I had that thought actually. Like we could sit here and talk all day.
Yapping
all day long.
Yeah.
But we've never had an episode that's less than like 45 minutes. And 45 minutes is the if that. That's on the short end.
Yeah.
I was covering my ass there.
Yeah, I prove it. Like, I think even like 48 is maybe our
shortest. Someone please go find our shortest episode.
I have no idea. I see a lot of podcasters do that, shorter episodes.
I actually listen to a few podcasts but granted it is one host.
Yeah.
And they're like 24-minute episodes.
Which would make sense for two hosts, double that. That's our shortest. Like
double the words, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Double the amount of sentences. Okay, guys, this is advice.
we roll the intro now. Could you imagine? No. Let's hop into it.
As you guys know, every
Are you okay? I'm good. Go on.
Okay, you should drink some water.
You're right.
If you don't know, every last episode of the month, we like to do an advice column where you guys write into us. You email us at oddvicepodcast@gmail.com.
I just got an idea.
What?
What if we got a P.O. box and people actually wrote into us?
Would you guys do that?
I'm being serious, too. Would you guys do that? Like, I would love that. Handwritten letters.
I think we should keep both forms. Those.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
At least for the, like...
But if we got any writers out there who are like, fuck, the digital age...
And I'm sure, I mean, everybody can pick up a pencil.
Yeah, but some people just don't like to write.
That's crazy. What are you for?
Okay, we're going to keep both forms, but let us know if you guys want a P.O. box so you writers can write into us. I would love that.
And like pretty envelopes. And
yeah, ooh, get fun with it.
That'd be really cool.
I love that.
I think that would really elevate our brand.
Okay, I'm never giving you coffee again. Okay, so you guys write in and we give you advice. And as you guys know, catchy headlines really catch us.
Yep.
So we're just going to jump right into it. Can I go first?
Yeah.
This headline is long distance or getting punched by Mike Tyson.
Both.
Which one would you choose?
Oh, both are so tough. I think a punch.
Yeah, I want a punch. That's by a Mike. Flex. That's like, right. Like Mike Tyson punched me.
And I think he would know how to punch to not give me brain damage.
Exactly.
Because he's like trained.
I feel like I'd want to be punched in the gut, not nope. in the head.
Knock the wind out of you? Yeah. You ever had that?
Oh, yeah. I have an older brother.
Right. That, I would never want that. I think a face punch from someone who like knows how
break
to punch
your jaw.
But knows how to punch. Like he's trained to punch.
Why are you yelling at me? Like you turned into Mike Tyson. You guys, Kristen's the Hulk.
That's not the first time I've been called that, dude. My sister used to tell me that when I was little.
Why?
Because I had a temper. Oh my God. I'm a lot better now, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we've gone 20 years and I just now called you.
Oh my God, I'm crying. It's just my sister that would piss me off like that growing up.
I mean, as siblings do.
Whatever. What are we talking about?
Okay.
I'm having eczema on my nose and like on my cheek. So comment down below eczema solutions.
I thought you were gonna say eczema stories.
Eczema survivor. Yeah, eczema.
Oh my God. Okay, back to the entry. Long distance or getting punched by Kristen.
I took a sip, I'm a spit. Okay.
Hi, Kristen and Alex. Wow, I love you guys like sisters. And my dream is to travel to New York and meet you guys and Link.
Damn it.
Aw, Link would love to say hi.
I'm very happy about that.
I just listened to the How to Survive the Honeymoon Phase episode. And wow, that was my favorite episode of the entire podcast.
Damn.
Really? Wow, that's cool. Huge. I relate to Alex so much with wanting my boyfriend to read my mind. I overthink everything to the bone, and sometimes I literally just need the physical presence of him. We're long distance, and it has been the hardest shit ever for almost a year now. We see each other around every 2 to 3 months, but we're so ready for the shit to be over. I go to a community college here in Texas, and he's living his dream of playing D1 football in Nebraska. We've had issues concerning communication issues, priorities, time for each other, friends of the opposite sex, boundaries, etc. Literally anything you can think of. I'm finishing my second semester of college and he's coming home May 15th. And we have talked about me possibly going up there for the summer and living with him and finishing school online. I'm so worried about how things will go because I absolutely hate change. I'd have to throw away my life with friends and the bonds I've made, but I'm not sure it'll be worth it. I try my best to make these decisions on my own, but I'm so scared I'll regret something. I also have heard you never really know someone until you live with them, so that's another thing I'm afraid of. I know Kristen has been through long distance, so I'm wondering when you know it's time to end it. Is it whenever we have the chance to, or do we just full send it and throw our lives away? I know this is a choice I need to make on my own, but I could really use that extra push or advice. Love y'all and Linky. Sincerely, Kennedy.
I love your name.
Me That's too. So cute. And it's K-Y-N-N-E-D-Y. Ooh, pretty. Love that. I want to point out like how you phrase some of these things. The way that you say you're going to be throwing your life away and your bonds already where you are already gives me the perspective that you're moving for him. And I don't think, I've never been in a long distance relationship. Actually, I have. It was in high school, but it doesn't really count.
I noticed.
It
like,
doesn't.
I know, but like, that was like a side thought you had that you let come out of your
head. Yeah, yeah. I feel like once you come to the phase of the relationship where you're trying to figure out where one moves or whether or not you break up, it has to be mutual enough to where you don't feel like you're ending your current life just to go live with someone. And it, the way, that's why I brought up like the way you're phrasing these things, because it scares me the way that you feel like you're completely giving up everything just to be with them. I don't know. Do you have any input?
I agree with Alex on that one. Like, kind of already hearing your perspective, which is a valid perspective. And it, I think what we're saying is to take that into consideration before you move anywhere.
Yeah.
When do you know in a long distance relationship? I'd say it's when you start questioning it.
Yeah.
Just to be completely honest with you. I mean, for me, it was once he cheated. So that's a little different. But like, I mean, I was cool with it up until I wasn't, because I wanted to be with him. And like, I had eventual plans to move back to California. And like, I kind of saw the light at the end of the tunnel. I saw the end of the long distance and the beginning of what I thought was going to be the rest of our lives. So that was kind of what kept me going. But if you're, I think you have the answer is what I'm trying to say. Like, I think if you're already feeling like that's just not what you want to do, go live over there or leave what you have in your current life. I think that's your answer. And I think anybody else listening, long distance or not, usually if you're questioning, it's coming to an end, mm-hmm. or coming to some type of fork in the road. So yeah, I think it's a lot more simple. I think, and I relate to you, like when I have got to the end of other relationships, I've like questioned and tried to exhaust all possibilities. But I think
you just know,
I was just tiptoeing around like, nah, I think this is done.
Yeah. You know, right? You have a gut feeling when it's time.
Yeah. But I mean, even who knows, we don't know your guys' whole story. So like, you know, we don't know everything, obviously. God. at all. But whatever you do, don't move if you're not 100%, because that could and most likely will lead to like resentment down the line.
Right.
And, you know, maybe regret. And nobody wants to live with that. Regret's inevitable in a lot of cases, but the ones where you can stop it before, like.
Right. I don't want you to move there on the foundation that you left your life for this relationship.
Exactly.
Because that's just exhausting in itself already when you're feeling like, when you're questioning if it's worth it. So just kind of look at it 360 right now, but I think you know your answer.
Okay, next one. The subject is, I let him cheat, so can I really be mad? Help.
Whoa.
I don't know. Let's see. What's good, girlies? Long time listener here and first time writing in. Maybe, LOL, I can't remember. Okay. I'm going to tell you guys now that I love the pod and you two so much, because I'm sure expressing this at the end of this novel will be a bit awkward. Mm. Now sit back, relax as I set the stage for this wild tale. Wow, I already love how you write.
Yeah.
The backstory. My husband and I, both 26, will have been married for a year come June, but have been together for over 7 years. Within the first few months of being married, we moved from Idaho to South Carolina because my husband got a job. It was a year contract as an athletic trainer. That's really cool. It was literally the most tragic thing ever, because Idaho was the first place that felt like home since moving there for college. I'm originally from Cali. We lived in Idaho for the entirety of our relationship. It's where all of our friends are, where we got married, etc. We both had no friends in South Carolina, and I went into a BV depression the first 6 months of being in South Carolina. I was heartbroken at leaving my home and having to uproot my life and move clear across the country. For a while, I blamed my husband for moving us. I'm going to pause right there. Last entry, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
You will if you move for the wrong reasons, you will blame them and resent them later. I continue. But after a few months of living in South Carolina and learning how to cope and regulate my emotions, I learned that it was less about us moving and it was more about how I missed my friends, my people, too much. After living in South Carolina for roughly 8 months, my husband got another job in New York. This time will be a 2-year contract with a certain NFL team. So we moved yet again in April 2024 to New York. I'm more excited for New York as I feel the vibes will more match my personality. Mm. Now this is where I need some Mondo advice. What's Mondo mean?
I don't know.
It's in like all caps too. Mondo advice. I don't know.
Monday.
M-O-N-D-O. Mondo.
I don't know.
The dilemma. Another tidbit that should be mentioned is that I am bisexual. My husband has known this fact since the beginning of our relationship and has been nothing short of supportive. I have only ever dated and married one person ever in my life, that person being my husband, a man. Hence, I've never been with a woman. Over the course of our relationship, my husband and I have discussed in length about how I would like at the bare minimum, to kiss a woman and explore that part of my sexuality. Again, my husband has always been supportive of me exploring my sexuality and basically gave me the green light if the opportunity ever arose for me to test the waters with a woman. I want to say maybe within the past 4-ish years of our relationship, my husband has also expressed how he's been bi-curious and often wonders what it would be like to be with a man, and I, of course, supported him. Now, while in South Carolina, about a month from moving to New York, we had this one conversation where we really went into detail about what we would support and not support when it came to us being with someone of the opposite sex. A lot was discussed, but this is what we agreed upon in terms of the dilemma. I was only comfortable with him pleasuring a man, example, giving someone else a hand job or blow job, and not comfortable with a man pleasing him, giving him the reasoning that I should be able to provide him with that, meaning I could easily give him a hand job or a blow job. Fast forward a week before we moved to New York, my dad is now in town helping us move, and my dad and I are packing boxes. My husband comes around 6 p.m. and starts to help us pack. My dad is in the living room doing his thing, and my husband and I are in the bedroom. Out of the blue, my husband tells me, "I gave someone a hand job today." I was shocked. Not that he gave someone a hand job, but more so it just came out of the blue, and I had a million questions, some being, when did he do this? And asking him for a little play-by-play of what happened. Turns out he did it on his way home from work, found this random guy online, and met him up at the mall in the men's bathroom. He never saw the guy's face and gave him a hand job under the stall door. When asked his reason for why now, he said that moving presented the best time as he would never have to be physically reminded of this experience. Well, I also learned that the random guy also returned the favor and they jerked each other off at the same time. Here's where I need major advice. After learning this, I became pretty unwell and honestly pissed off. I explained how that wasn't what we agreed upon and how I was hurt he allowed something like this to happen. My husband expressed how awful he felt and how it all happened so fast and he instantly regretted it once it was over. I guess I'm confused because I technically did give him permission to explore the side of his sexuality, but also feel entitled to feeling nasty and upset about the whole situation. I now feel like I can pleasure him in those ways again because I'm afraid either of us will be comparing the experiences. And now I feel bad about ever getting with a girl in the future because I feel like it's me, quote, getting back at him and not exploring my sexuality. All in all, I don't know what to make of this whole situation. Any advice is welcome. I literally have no one I could talk to about this, so please give me some honest reactions. Thanks in advance. Please keep it on. You're an incredible writer, by the way. Like, it was such a flow to read.
Right.
This is so tough because you're so valid because you did give him these boundaries and he broke them.
These are all such natural feelings, but I do see both sides of it because it is such a unique situation that I could see where things probably did get out of hand in the bathroom stall. And I mean, that's the first time he has experienced anything like that. So he probably didn't know how to navigate it naturally in the first place.
Yeah.
But I also see how upset you are. I do want to say this little tidbit before I forget.
Yeah.
As far as you feeling like if you were to have an experience with a woman, it would be as if you were getting back at him, make sure that is not actually how he feels.
So that if you do get with a woman, it's not just tit for tat?
Yeah.
I hear you.
Make sure that's not just a feeling you're having and like have this conversation with him.
Yes.
Because I feel like you still absolutely have the right to explore this side of your sexuality. Yep. And as long as he kind of gives you the green light, like, look, my experience is different from yours. I still want you to explore. I don't want you to hold what he did against him or yourself as far as you still exploring. Does that make sense?
Totally. And especially if like, I mean, it seems like you still plan to be together. You still plan to be married. Like there will have to be a point of, I don't want to just call it like dropping this because it's so much more than that, but working through it and actually getting past it.
Right.
That's kind of your only option for long-term relationship health here. And I think it's going to take a lot of conversations and letting him know how you feel, but also, you know, once you have processed your individual emotions, I hope you guys can kind of talk about what it's going to be going forward and maybe have some compassion with him that, like, he didn't know how to navigate it. He did tell you literally right away.
Right.
He came home and it
within hours.
And just
you could tell
the way he blurted it out. Like, I feel like anytime I've had to get something off my chest, it does just like,
it has to be a sentence out on the table. And like, then we could talk about it.
Yeah. Like, it, this didn't seem like malicious or anything is at least my perspective. Again, we don't know your guys' relationship and you know him way better than we ever will, but it didn't seem malicious. So I really hope you guys can push through this.
Now I'm kind of putting myself in his shoes and like in that scenario. And I'm wondering if the man that he met up with was kind of like made a pass at him. And I'm trying to picture him being like, no, sorry, my wife wouldn't like that. Like, yeah. I feel like there's so many layers to it as to why it did go down that direction. Give him some grace. Yeah. I will say that.
It seems like there's a lot of emotion for him to, like, obviously, like we said, the way he blurted it out. And I think if you opened the conversation to maybe let him, like, well, I guess you did the play-by-play. You did ask for play-by-play. Never mind.
Yeah.
You already did that. I was going to say, like, maybe that would make you feel better if you knew the play-by-play, but
yeah,
seems like you do. Yeah, I'm sorry, though. That
you're so valid for feeling the way that you do.
Yeah. I hope what we're saying isn't saying to disregard what you're saying and just feel bad for him. That's not what we're saying.
No.
But I do think there would be value and some compassion if you guys do plan on getting past this, like, wholeheartedly.
Right. Okay, here's this next one. Am I weird or are my friends and mutuals just rude? Hi, Kristen and Alex. I've been a listener since the first episode. Being a follower of Kristen's during the Vlog Squad days, we won't talk about it. And this is now my first time writing in. Thank you for this podcast, and it has guided me through my teenage years. Anyway, this might be long, but let me share. I'm a 19-year-old girl who attends college full-time, working a part-time job with a busy home life as a commuting student and extracurricular activities to build up my resume. Wow, you're really doing it.
Jesus.
To say my focus isn't on a relationship or romance is an understatement, but I have a friend group that consists of all couples except for one or two people who are single in between relationships. I became a part of this friend group via my childhood best friend who essentially merged her boyfriend's friend group with me in the nicest way possible. I'm her only friend that is outside of her boyfriend's friend group or that she met on her own. Now, every time I go over and hang out with them, the topic of me finding a guy comes up. I understand they just want me to be happy, but I've expressed several times that I'm actually very happy being single and I don't really have the time for a relationship. Of course, I get sad here and there for being single, such as Valentine's Day, but I feel that that is natural and just proves that I'm human who one day does want a connection. Anyway, the issue lies with a comment that was made. I recently went on a date with a guy I met at the friend's get-together. Of course, he was the only single guy there, and because I sat within 3 feet of him, everyone thought I was trying to get at him. I wasn't. I just sat down, lol. Anyway, they forced us to dance and interact as if we were in middle school. This guy then DMs me and suggests we start getting to know each other. Me not knowing how to say no, I just went with it. On this date, he talks about his ex-girlfriend from high school. Mind you, he is about 3 years older than me. He additionally tells me that my friend's boyfriend told him that she, quote me, hasn't been with anyone since I've known her, and I don't even know if she's into guys or girls. What the fuck? For whatever reason, that kind of hurt me, and yeah. That kind of hurt me, and I even brought it up to my friend. She just brushed it off as something a guy would say. I understand he might not have meant any ill intention from saying that, but is it reasonable to think that it's an odd comment to make about someone to someone else who they might be going on a date with? Lastly, any advice on how to handle the topic during the hangouts I have with this friend group? What can I say that will make them understand that I'm fine? I know I'm young and have a lifetime to find love. It truly is just not my priority right now. And also, are they being rude by constantly bringing it up as if I'm weird for not wanting that right now? This was long, but it felt good to type out. Even if it's not red, I'm glad I got it out. If this is red, please keep me anonymous. I got you.
Anon.
Quote Anon.
I don't think it's like,
I don't think they're being malicious. I don't think it's rude.
Yeah, I think it's just like different parts of your life.
Like, right. And I think they just have a different, clearly have a different perspective on the whole journey of relationships, since they're all 19 and in what seems to be serious relationships, which is fine. Like, that's so normal.
That's like their world right now, though. Like,
right.
When I was 19 and had my person, I was like, that's all I did relate everything back to. And like, I couldn't fathom being single at that time.
It's your whole world.
Right. And like, that's relative on their part. I guess just,
it's unfair that they're pushing it on you as well. Of course. And the fact that you've brought it up multiple times in saying that I am happy right now, I'm not looking for a relationship, I feel like there should be, like, they should respect that boundary. Yeah. Absolutely. They need to just stop bringing it up. Is this something that you could, and like the fact that your friend's boyfriend is starting to get involved in all of this, like, that part would piss me off. Is there a way that you could, I mean, I'd hope that you could get pretty vulnerable with your close girlfriend in this friend group and just let her know, like, look, I appreciate you, your guys's concern and like the want for me to be included in like the couple shit, but I don't want a relationship. I like, even if I'm sitting down flirting with a guy, he doesn't have to just, okay, now we should get to know each other. Like,
yeah,
it's weird and formulated and
you see that a lot,
transactional though, to me.
When like couples, or even like, I even noticed after I got out of my relationship, like a few people are like, oh my God, I know this guy. I was like, no, like, you don't need to set me up with nothing. Yeah. Like, I'm cool off that.
Yeah.
That's why I do feel like it doesn't come from like malintent, but like, I would just keep shutting it down if I were you. I would just keep being like,
ignore it, brush it off.
Guys, for the 10th time, I'm not talking about this right now. Like, it's, you just have to keep shutting it down. I think that's just something, that's just like a life skill at that point. There's always going to be someone that has something to say about what you're doing.
Yep.
You just have to like not let it get to you and stay resilient to it. Like, at the end of the day, they're not living your life. It really doesn't matter what they think.
Right.
And yeah, I don't think it's like bad intent. I wouldn't call them bad friends or anything.
No.
Okay. This next one caught my eye because the subject line, it says, a love letter to my dear friend, Kristen. I'm your sign from the universe.
Oh my God. Who wrote this?
I don't want to say their name just in case they want to be anon. Anonymous wrote
Anon.
Dear Kristen, I'm 26 years old. I'm an architect and I come from somewhere in Middle Europe, let's say. Around fall of last year, I finished my almost 5-year relationship with a rat dressed up as a man.
Me too.
It was devastating to the point I had to start loving myself and shit like that. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, imagine how crazy it was when not long after, my favorite podcast shares a story which is so similar to mine. There was a man and cheating and gut feelings and anxiety and long distance. It all matched me so much. I was shocked and super sad for you, obviously, but for the most part, I felt incredibly seen and comforted. You proved to me that I'm not dumb or naive that it happened to me, but I know, because I know you're a smart person. For the next months, I was so proud of you for doing well, even if I couldn't. I was living in survival mode while you were going on dates and meeting new people. You made me happy and hopeful that one day it's going to be me too. That brings us to the day I heard that you're not feeling your best self, and I was just so confident about writing to you that you're going to be more than okay, as I started to feel eventually. The universe was telling me that if I could feel that good now, you will too. And after years, I found I actually have an intuition and it works very fucking well. I was just suppressing it. It's like I'm strong for you as you were strong for me. Something is very, very strongly telling me that you will be good. I heard that ego tries to put us down the most right before the change will happen. And if there's any advice I can ask from you, how do you still believe in good men? It was my first relationship and I simply can't imagine. Send hugs to Alex because I love her too. Mm-hmm. Just can't relate at this moment. Same. Please keep it on. P.S. I'm not going to be sorry for my English because I say sorry way too much. It's my second language. And if you understand me, I rock anyway.
You do. And we understand you because yeah. I would never guess.
P.S. P.S. again, some of the best bits from my ex. Borrowing the car of my parents, which I was using to help his friend for moving. Taking his second girlfriend for a date in the fucking car. Breaking into my Instagram account to make it private. Moving to another continent to be with me. He was from South America. And then just cheating on me. And going back in the middle of the night from his second girlfriend, but always remembering to kiss me goodnight and tell me he loves me. How adorable.
What a Tanner.
Oh, this was, wow. I needed this. This was such That's a beautiful letter. Thank you so much for writing this in. And what really resonated is where you said your ego tries to put you down the most before the change will happen. Mm-hmm. And I really do feel like I'm living that out right now. I felt such a shift. Honestly, ever since the eclipse, that was kind of like a turning point. Yeah. Who knows if it was that exactly or just what I'm testing it to. I don't know. And I don't care. I'm just happy that I'm finally feeling that shift, and hearing stories like yours is so inspiring, because as any healing does, I go in and out of the happy and the sad, and it's all part of the process. But thank you for that. I'm sure that inspired a lot of people too. And I know how you feel, like not really believing in men right now. And like, I feel that to an extent, but I'm also, I don't even know if I'd call it hopeful. I feel like it's realistic more so, that not all men suck. There are so many fucking men on this planet, and like, we just so happen to get some bad ones. And there are a lot of bad men. Don't get me wrong. We mm-hmm. all know that. I don't need to tell you that. But there's also really good men that were raised by really, really amazing women and know how to fucking treat a woman because of it. And I don't want to say I've never been hurt bad enough to lose faith in men, because I think I have, like since birth, like men have always been an inconsistent thing in my life. But for maybe it's my higher power or something, it's never made me think all men are bad.
Right.
You know, I think that's just unrealistic to, like,
that's just like not how statistics work.
It's just like kind of dramatic to think that. And I don't mean that to put you down or anybody else who feels that way. Your experience is tied to you and relative to you. But in my universe, it just seems like a little intense of a claim to make.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot to put that whole descriptor on one gender.
And one or even a few experiences you have with men
to attest to all men. All,
the whole,
yeah,
I almost said the whole generation, the whole gender. Yeah, I mean, I think it just runs deeper too. Like, this might ruffle some feathers to a lot of people listening. I'm gonna say it anyway. If you're noticing that you keep getting with shitty men, not saying it's all your fault, like, please don't take this extreme. Like, I don't even want this to be like clipped on TikTok or nothing, because I can see people taking it out of fucking context.
Yeah.
It does take two to tango, and the energy you put out is the energy you receive. And I'm also talking to myself here. Even my experience with a lot of people in my life, but we'll just talk about Tanner since you guys have context to that one. I attracted someone who ended up being very similar to who I grew up around. You know, I was super burned by them, but now that I've been healing through it, I'm like, oh, that's actually just a pattern, because
you're used to it.
I'm used to it. And I, you know, they say like you date your dad, you date your parents. And it's so true. And like, I don't know. I say that because like, if you are finding a repeat of shitty people in your life, romantic or not, take some time to like look within. And once you fix the foundation of your person, you will start attracting better people. And I don't know if that was even relevant, but it just kind of popped in my head.
Totally.
And yeah, so as much as like the shitty things that have happened are because like are literally their fault, like I didn't fucking cheat on myself. Tanner cheated on me, and that was fully his action.
Yep.
I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it's my fault because I attract that energy. No, but like, I don't know. It's just, that's a whole other topic. I'll sit here for another hour.
It's a whole other thing.
But hopefully that skimmed the surface.
Yeah.
It's real. But thank you for writing in. That you got me. A little sign from the universe. Thank you. I don't know. It's almost like, now I'm rambling still, but like taking accountability for like your part in the bigger picture.
Yeah. I think that comes with growth and time being outside of. That's a very hard picture to paint when you're in the situation.
Totally. It's actually impossible.
Yeah.
It's actually impossible.
But time really does show you the full 360 of a lot of scenarios in your life and personal growth and self-awareness. When things happen again, like reoccurring habits happen again, and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, maybe this is why that relationship 5 years ago ended the way that it did. Mm-hmm. Because maybe I do this, or when I do this, it brings out this, or when someone else does something, it brings out this in me. Like
identifying those is,
it's important huge. To acknowledge that it does take two to tango.
Yeah. That's been like my biggest takeaway from the past few months is like, oh, there's a pattern here.
Yeah. Even something as simple's a weird word, but for lack of a better word, as simple as enabling something
exactly
is detrimental.
Yeah.
But it, you still have a part in it because you're enabling. You're
enabling. Yeah. I think it helps to take off the victim mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a victim to cheating. I was a victim to betrayal. And I let myself sit in that emotion too, because it's very fucking valid to be like, you did this to me, dude. Like, you know, let that out. But then with time, I've been able to like take off the victim hat and be like, huh, I did enable some of this behavior.
Mm-hmm. But that's the growth part. Like that's really big of you.
I'm a big girl. So
you're a big girl.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
This one's called Attack of the Toenail Fungus. Literal advice.
Let's go.
Hola, Kristen and Alex.
Hello.
Or is it holla? Probably. Because it's double L's and double A's.
Holla.
Holla. Okay. Or Alex and Kristen, whatever your heart desires.
We should just combine our names.
Alan.
I love that.
A-L-E-N. A-L-E-N. We should get a cat, name him Alan.
But that's mostly you.
It's equal parts.
A-L-E-N.
Oh, I took your E-N, not my E.
Okay.
No, it's fine. Different E.
They sound different. You're right.
Different source.
Alex, Kristen, they sell the same. Rx. I like that a lot.
Crex.
Crex. K-R-E-X.
Crex.
That's cool. That's like a workout brand.
Coming to you soon.
Yeah.
You two feel like my older sister's best friends. Oh. All right. Now.
Your older sister's friends?
No. / best friends.
Okay. You didn't say / I would say or.
Or best friends.
That sounded like they're slash saying like Monica's means friends.
And or.
But say it that then.
Oh my God. The Hulk's coming out. You said, but say that then.
Is this Dunkin' coffee? America runs on Dunkin'. That's why we're all so angry. They put like anger juice in here.
It's probably laced with Red Bull or something.
Yeah.
So what would you guys do in this situation? I have phonail dungus.
Oh, phonail dungus.
Oh my God, that was good. I'm so sorry, you guys. I have toenail fungus on 8 of my toes. They literally look like those gross toenails that randomly pop up on your For You page.
We have different For You pages.
I know. How did you let them get that bad? And good question, because I don't even know. I was either a freshman or sophomore in high school when the first toenail started. Mind you, I'm 25, so it's hard to remember when exactly. In high school, I was in softball, cross country, wrestling, and track. A quadlet, LMAO, which is how I think I got it. At first, I didn't mind it too much and didn't think it was something I had to worry about since I could hide it by wearing shoes. I had always hated my feet because I'm flat-footed and my feet were always pale. By senior year, I had it on 4 toenails, which is when I decided to go to the doctor because I wanted to wear heels for prom. And they prescribed me antifungal nail polish.
What? That's kind of cool.
But I would still wear shoes because of the sports I played and wasn't about to show off my gross toenails at school, even though the doctor told me to avoid wearing shoes. Prom comes along and I spend hours trying to trim, paint, file my gross toenails into normal ones for them to look just okay. Forward to sophomore year of college, it spread to another 2 toenails, 6 nails then. I go back to a different doctor because my dad switched insurance, which is why my freshman year of college, I didn't keep up with the other doctor. Then the new doctor prescribes me the same thing. I try it again and it spreads to another toenail, 7 toenails now. Then boom, COVID. I didn't go for 2 years because of COVID and felt guilty for going for toenails when people were dying. During COVID, it spread to the big toenail, number 8.
The number is crazy.
I go to another doctor and she prescribes me antifungal pills to help me from the inside to have them grow out. That is what you should have done from the get.
That part.
Yep. But the pills have a slight chance of affecting my liver. Regardless, I still took them for 3 months since I was healthy and made sure to avoid alcohol, as my doctor said. I finished them and nothing. So I got referred to a podiatrist, and she told me with cases as severe as mine, I'd have to take the pills another 3 months. After a total of 6 months of taking pills, nothing. I decided to go to another podiatrist and try and laser them, spending $1,000 and nothing again. I've also tried other holistic things like apple cider vinegar, tea tree oil, Vicks, etc., and no success. After trying what seems about everything, I still have ugly toenails that affect my self-esteem, and I feel hopeless. I have to keep my socks on during sex, and when I get invited to the beach or pool, it's so embarrassing. I just choose not to go. How would I go with new friend groups or guys I start to date? Like, I know for me, it would be a bit of a turnoff if a guy were to have the same problem as me, which is more of a reason I want normal toenails. But it's so normalized with guys to have, quote, gross feet and for a woman to have cute feet. I feel like I can't even express myself fully since I can't wear cute sandals or cute heels when going out. Any advice, please? What would you two do in this situation? Would you guys take another round of the pills for 6 months? Remember, it could harm your liver. Laser again? Would you just live with it? And how would I go about explaining to someone I'm dating that I have toenail fungus? Thanks, and hope to meet y'all one day. I'd like to remain anonymous, please. Remember when...
It was truth or drink.
We told you that I had a secret.
I'm so proud of you.
I have a secret. You are me and I am you. And I don't have toenail fungus, but I have trauma to my feet, and my two big toes are fake.
The toenails, not the toes.
Imagine.
Ouchie.
Oh. I feel you. And it's just one of those things. I want to say, have you ever gone to a dermatologist, and have them take a sample of your toenail because there's a chance it's not fungus? You were a runner. You played, what was the sport you played?
Track. It was like four.
You played hella sports. It might be trauma to your toes.
So the nail beds.
Yeah, the shoes that you're wearing. I got it because I was wearing too small of shoes for literally 10 years.
Yeah, guys, make sure you're not squeezing your feet into smaller shoes. I feel like that was a big thing growing up.
Well, I always just said I was a size 9, but really I was a 9.5. And I never even thought I just thought shoes fit that way, which sounds so dumb now. But it's one of those things. And it's one of my biggest insecurities. But okay, so there's this thing called CariFlex. Look it up. I don't know where you live or if it's offered in your area. It's like really low key. It took me a long time to find it. And they make your toenail look like a regular toe. And that's what I do. So my toenails
look normal. They literally look you would never know looking at Alex's feet. You guys ever see her feet.
One day.
One day we'll do a feet episode.
Right. It's pretty pricey, but it's worth it for me because I'm the same as you. Like, hate when people look at my feet. And you're so right in the sense that, like, my dad has the same feet as me and he has the same trauma on his toes. And everyone knows, like, Norm's got weird feet.
And he still wears flip-flops and shit. Like,
chanclas all day, every day. But I get you because I don't think I could ever go out with my natural toes. I get you. So I found CariFlex. It's K-E-R-Y Flex. And it's just this material. It's like a breathable material. This happened to me in high school too. My toes have been the same since high school. I also was offered to do the pill, but I was also told there's like a 30% chance nothing will happen to it or it'll come back. It does only work on, or has potential to work on, fungal toenails. So that's why I'm saying go to
get it tested.
Get it tested because if it's not fungus, it's just trauma to the toenail. So and
maybe yours isn't fungus since your pills didn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't suggest doing the pill again, especially since it didn't work the first time. The topical shit, it's all gimmicky. Yeah, it's all woo-woo gimmicky to me. I tried, when I didn't know that it wasn't fungus, I tried all the topical or the herbal shit as well. Didn't work. It's just one of those things that you have to live with. And I've gone to doctor after doctor asking for a more permanent solution. And every doctor has told me nail beds don't have the capability to rejuvenate. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes the toenail to be, quote, ugly. And it's just one of the things you have to live with.
I'm so proud of you, Alex. This is huge.
Does
it feel good to get off your chest?
You guys, I don't tell anybody about this.
And now you just told millions
of people.
You're going to be like a spokesperson for CarryFlex.
You know what? I'll do it. Hey,
that'd be sick.
CarryFlex, if you want to sponsor, for let real. Me know.
Yeah, no, this is your girl.
Let me know.
They look so good, though.
They're normal toenails.
You would never, ever know.
You would never guess it. And they last, like I said, it's pretty pricey, but they last like 2 to 3 months. And you just go back and it's a nice little podiatrist.
I feel like years damn near last longer.
I've gone like 3.5, 4. Yeah. But they look
they
a
start
little,
to look. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they like rough after that
to you, you know, like if you're just like wearing sandals out and about and in passing, like they pass for like a normal.
Right. You know. Look up CarryFlex. That's been my savior in all of this. Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel you. I'm sorry. I get your frustration. I get your embarrassment and I get all of it, but don't let it stop you from living your life. Like it made me sad to hear that you wear socks during sex and going to the beach, and I just don't let it stop you.
Yeah.
Everyone has little things like yeah, that.
Absolutely.
And all of my close friends know, and they've never made me like, ew, look at your toes.
Literally never. I don't even care. I like looking at it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like when you're in between and show me, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's yeah. Just, I embrace it.
Yeah. I have a funny story that I'll tell another day.
Yeah, no, take your time with that.
Now I'm like word vomiting.
I feel like I need to pull my chest. Yeah, she'll tell that story one day. It's funny.
Yeah.
No, I think you gave great direction though. The getting it tested, I think it should be your next step.
Yep.
You got this. You're not alone. Okay, next one. This subject line is funny. Help. Lost that dog in me. Hello, girlies. Currently writing after a sob sesh, LOL. Aww. It needs some college advice from my favorite older sisters. Sorry, this will be long. So I am a 20-year-old girl in my sophomore year of college, and I'm feeling dumb, stupid, lazy, incapable, and all the things in between. I'm a business major at an engineering heavy school, so I already feel like I shouldn't be struggling with my classes due to the business student stereotypes, but I am. My term GPA has gotten lower each term despite me trying my best. Yes, I am busy working, sorority, member of 2 other organizations, friends, boyfriend, and taking 15 to 17 credits per term on a quarter system. God damn. However, I know so many people who are doing the same amount of activities and more and are killing it. And I know the solution to feeling dumb in classes and getting low grades is to study more and go to office hours and get tutoring, but I feel like I don't have time to add that with the hours I have in a day. I really am struggling this time to balance my life and feeling like I can't do everything without dropping some aspect of my life. Romantic, friendships, work, schooling, family, social, fitness, I just can't seem to get it all together this time, and I truly don't know what to do. I don't want to give up anything either because it all seems so important to either what I want to do now or what I want to do in the future. So I have accidentally let family and fitness slip off the wayside, which I feel awful about. But I got off track a little bit. I really am mostly struggling with seeing other people do more and do better than me with ease. I'm sure this is exacerbated. I can't read.
Exacerbated
by high school being easy for me, especially my sorority twin. She's also a business student, but she's in accounting classes I really struggle with and has multiple jobs and clubs she belongs to and maintains social and romantic connections. And of course, all my roommates are majoring in harder things than me, yet seem to have a lot more free time and always want to hang out. So I feel like the village idiot by always having to study instead. My ask for advice is this: what do you do when you feel useless and stupid compared to everyone else? And how do you juggle all aspects of your busy lives? Any support would be greatly appreciated, and I look up to y'all so much. Even if you don't read this on the pod, it felt good to get off my chest. You are saying what a lot of people are feeling. Mm-hmm. I just want to start with that. I know it feels very alone because nobody else is like having those type of emotions outwardly, but this is very much a normal thing to be going through at your age. And I still even have times of it too. Like, I think it's almost like, listen to the imposter syndrome episode two. It's a lot of like that self-talk bug and whatnot, but I don't think you're incapable of what you have on your plate. I just think your energy is so focused on what it looks like on the outside that you're not just like staying in your lane and putting your focus on what's in front of you.
You're not giving yourself the credit for what you're accomplishing.
What you are doing. Like, you're talking about the things that you aren't doing or what you should be doing or blah blah blah. But like, I think that's putting energy where it doesn't belong.
And I think you just really have a really bad case of the comparison bug.
Yeah.
Especially in a place, it's like fitting a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone is the same and like able or want to or can take on the same amounts of things as valedictorian and the person with seven extracurriculars and all of these extra things. Like, some people are just built that way, and it's important to acknowledge the things that you are accomplishing and not let getting down on yourself for the things that other people are accomplishing but isn't in your lane.
You're just different humans.
Yeah.
And it's not a better or worse human. It's just different. Yeah. It's just apples to oranges. And I don't know. Again, this is like also valid. Like, I think it's just really heightened right now because you're in college. You're around people with like, I mean, you all have kind of a lot in common. You're all literally at the same college. You're all living on the same campus. You're all living around the same people. But like, trust me, when you get out of college, you're going to see that every walk of life is so different.
Yeah.
It's all just relative right now is what I'm trying to say. So hopefully that helps kind of like ease your mind that it won't be like this forever. For now, I would just start with really just like, it's going to start with maybe some self-talk, stopping negative self-talk and starting positive self-talk. And
give yourself credit.
Yeah. Putting your energy back into yourself. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But you're not alone. And I wish I had like a pretty one answer to give you to solve this, but this is also just a very, very big part of growing up.
Yeah.
And like the human experience and
such a standard feeling at the age that you're at.
I get it though. And I still have it sometimes, especially, I know this is different, but being next to Alex all the time, like we have the podcast together, but like our general jobs are so different.
Yeah.
And like, even when I talk to all my other friends who have corporate jobs and I'm not in a corporate job, there is that kind of like, oh shit, they have this job security that I don't have. And like, what if the internet ends tomorrow? Like, they're good and I'm not. And like, the comparison will always kind of happen. I think that's just like a natural judgment of the brain.
Yeah.
It's just who you're around. And you have to, then I zoom out and I'm like, well, yeah, we're just in different industries.
Right.
And it doesn't mean theirs is better or worse or mine is better or worse. They're just different industries.
And the corporate people like me are thinking, oh my God, your job is so cool. You have so much freedom. Like, you have this creativity and like you're your own boss. And
the grass is greener.
The grass is always greener on the other side. And not to take away from what you're feeling, because what you're feeling is so valid and so natural and so common. The people who have 20 billion things on their plate and sliding by in these classes and getting these A's without studying, like, that's not to tell you that they don't struggle at all.
Of course.
Or don't struggle with anything else. And it's just different. It looks different for them because they could be struggling in one area of their life, or
and they're also just not saying it out loud.
Right. And like, it's not apparent because you're comparing just the school aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's easy for them, it doesn't mean that something else isn't hard for them in their life too. It's just the comparison bug, and we only see what we want to see when we're comparing with other people.
That's projection. Yeah. I feel like with school, that was a big thing for me growing up, as I thought like, why am I not getting the grades that we'll go back to you? Like, Alex, straight A student our whole life. And like, I definitely was not. And I would always think like, am I stupid? Am I incapable? Like, what's up? But now that I'm older and we're older, it's just, we have different brains.
Yep.
And it's not that, again, not that one's better than the other, but when you're in,
when you're comparing literally, when you're getting categorized by actual grades based on the amount of schoolwork that you're put in, then that's a clear comparison. But like in life, you know so much more about me than acupuncture and health and different things, but it's just because we're different. We learn differently.
Exactly. And like, that's just in schooling. Like there's,
right,
there's just different,
there's different
parts of life, and you'll be the, I'll put in quotes, the better or the smarter one in another one. And
yep,
the other person might look at you with the same envy. And yeah, it's a, I don't know if that's nice to hear or not, but like, that will never go away. Mm-hmm. It's just, you have to learn how to look at it with a positive perspective and not let it tear you down, because it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you do kind of have to like learn to live with it. But yeah, maybe start with a, write down a little list of the things you're actually really fucking proud that you've done up, yeah, until this point.
Okay, here's the next one. The title is just, am I the asshole? With hella question marks and exclamation marks. Hey girlies, I have kind of a petty am I the asshole I thought I'd get your opinion on rather than the Reddit hellscape. I've been listening to the podcast since day one and have followed Kristen's journey online since I was 14. I'm 21 now. 6 years.
14.
Wow.
Ugh. Wow. How are you?
Anyway, let's get it going. Please keep anonymous. Am I the asshole for kicking my boyfriend off of our shared Spotify because I hate his music? I, 21-year-old female, and my partner, 21-year-old male, have been dating since we were 18. I'm a dance teacher, and it's required that I own Spotify Premium because you obviously can't have crazy rap start playing during a ballet class with three-year-olds with no way to stop it, LOL. Since my boyfriend and I are both broke college students, I offered to share my account with him and we'd split the cost on one condition. If he's going to listen to music that doesn't line up with my current taste profile, please make sure to turn off the include in my taste profile button or just listen to it on Apple Music. As I'm sure many people can relate to, my Spotify rap stats are something that is so fucking important to me. I love the analytics and comparing my results each year. He happily agreed. Well, a few times now, I've caught him listening to music that would ruin my stats without taking the song or playlist off the inclusion. I wasn't too mad because it's easily fixable, but also, dude, please respect me. Damn. This would happen every few months, and every time I would remind him to take it off the inclusion. Well, just a few days ago, I found out he was listening to the Trolls Band Together soundtrack. Oh, like the Trolls movie?
Like the kids' Trolls movie?
Trolls Band Together. We looked that up.
Yeah.
So naturally, more upset this time. It's happening like six times now. Or sorry, it's happened like six times now. I said, dude, come on, just take it off the inclusion or listen on Apple Music. We've talked about this so many times. This man dares to look at me and say, you've never told me to do that. When I tell you, I flipped. Either this man just lied to my face or he blatantly doesn't listen or care about what I ask of him. After I calmed down a little bit, I said, you know what? It's just music. We can take it off the profile. It's fine. So I go to physically show this man how to take it off the inclusion, and lo and behold, we can't. This man has been listening to the fucking Trolls album so much that I can no longer not include it in my Spotify Wrapped. Anger returned. I got so mad I finally kicked him off our Spotify account. I had told him very nicely so many freaking times not to do exactly what he did. Just to be clear, he knows what he did is wrong, and I'm not crazy pissed, LMAO. I just had enough and now we both laugh at it. But still, boy, damn, don't be ruining my stats. Would love your opinion. I love you both. Let me take you on a cute ass Seattle night out. Bye.
It's the Trolls movie.
Oh my God.
Like it's, yeah. Also, the box office, how much do you think it made?
42 bill.
Okay, that's crazy.
42 bill? Mil. I have no sense of anything.
I know, I shouldn't have asked you. $209.6 million.
Close.
Jesus Christ.
Damn.
There's a lot of, okay. You know what? In his defense.
Good songs.
It's
probably like a lot of Pharrell, huh?
Right. Justin Timberlake, Kid Cudi, Anna Kendrick.
So specific.
Troye Sivan.
And the fact that he listens to it enough to where you can no longer remove it from your stats is so funny.
That's takes a lot of listening.
Dedication.
I'm glad you guys laugh at it now.
Right.
I was going to say.
Because I was going to say, like, if you're still pissed at this. For a second, I thought
you were, like, really mad. And I was going to be like, you got a show. Yeah. But I'm glad you guys are laughing.
Yeah. Because this is kind of silly. But I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same, in the same breath, if you are going to be so upset about the possibility of your stats being ruined, kick them out. Like, don't have the same.
Shouldn't have been a thing in the first place.
Yeah. You guys shouldn't have shared a Spotify in the first place.
Can't, and I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but can't you have people on your account, but you, like how Netflix is, you have different
profiles,
like, profiles, but it's under the same account.
You could do like the family account, but I don't know what that entails.
Me either.
I don't think, I don't, I'm not sure how, what that is. The price is probably a little bit more expensive.
Right.
Because it is separate profiles.
Right.
But I'm sure you guys, like, he's just logged into your account. Also, do you pay 50-50? Like, if you're playing 50-50, he should be able to listen to what
he wants. He's allowed to do it. He controls all day.
Yeah.
You're not the asshole, though.
You're not, yeah.
But
you guys are just silly gooses.
Yeah, you are particular.
Yeah. And I relate.
But
I do.
I don't think you're an asshole anymore.
No. But, like, let's all laugh about it now.
Yeah. Okay, this is going to be the last entry. The subject line says, drunk kissed a new friend.
Ooh, love that.
Maybe. What if it's not a good story?
Well, it ends with friend, so I'm assuming it ended out good.
But what if they were a new friend, kissed,
and okay, let's find out.
Anyway. Hi, Kristen and Alex. We're already giving advice about it. Hi, Kristen and Alex and Link. Please keep it on. Okay, this might be long. Apologies in advance. So this past weekend, I was in my old college town for one of my friend's birthdays. Very party-focused beach town. Why do I feel like it's San Luis Obispo or Santa Barbara?
Slough.
The last year or so, I haven't been very into partying and heavy drinking much, but I decided I was going to go hard this night.
We started
out with day drinking, and I much prefer that. You're a monster. So essentially, we were drinking all day, and more of our friends kept showing up at the house throughout the day, including
so fun,
including someone I had just met once before a few months prior, who's good friends with everyone. I didn't really feel any sort of romantic or sexual attraction for him necessarily, but he's an incredibly kind guy and very genuine. So we ended up chatting pretty much all day. Of course, day turned to night, as it does.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to hit the bars, and at this point, we're all pretty hammered. I cannot recall exactly when things turned flirty, likely from all the tequila. However, once we were at the bars, we were dancing and kissing and such. This went on all night, and when we got back to the house after I had a drunk cry, of course, and he comforted me in my raccoon-ass makeup. He offered me to crash at his place. I declined and he went home. Next morning, he texted to check in on me, which was nice, and offered me to crash at his place if I wasn't feeling like driving back home 2 hours. Again, I said I needed to get back to work and he didn't push back. Fast forward 2 days and he texted me asking what I was doing this weekend and said he would love to drive up to me and hang out on Saturday. Again, 2-ish hours. I'm not mentioning cities because I'm scared people will see this. I haven't answered yet because although I wouldn't be opposed to seeing if there's anything between us sober, it feels like him coming up here with the sole purpose of seeing me is a lot and feels a bit overwhelming. I also don't want to be stuck in a situation where I feel bad that he has to drive home same day and I let him sleep over. This is something I've done a lot in the past. The last couple years, I've become a lot better at being honest in dating and only letting people into my life romantically that I actually want to spend time with. With that said, I'm really struggling with what to do here. I don't want to lie and say I'm busy. There's not even one thing on my calendar this weekend. But I also don't want to put myself in an uncomfortable situation if he's more into that than I am. Did that just click for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Help. This man is literally so kind and a great person, and I don't want things to be weird because I'll absolutely see him in the future. I definitely hurt guys in the past and honestly haven't really been in the dating scene recently, so I'm trying to be really careful. Thank you in advance if you see this. I love you both so much. You are really getting me through my early 20s. Mm. For reference, I'm almost 24 and he's 25.
This is so, like,
did I write this?
Right. Like, There's always the scenario in which, even out here, like, you kind of had a fling with someone in Long Beach and, like, he was like, why don't I come out to Manhattan? And we always think that they're like, going to
worst case scenario.
can I just crash at yours?
And like, it literally, he didn't even fucking ask where I lived. Like, it didn't end up happening that way, but I get where your brain went with worst case. Like,
right.
Are they going to think that they're going to be able to slide like that? Like,
I get
dude,
it.
That your brain works exactly like ours.
Yep. It's one of those things, like, we're still working on it.
Yeah. You got any advice about that? I don't know. I think I wouldn't have him come either.
No. It's a lot. 2 hours is a long drive. 2 hours is a lot after one fling of a weekend. Yeah. When's the next time you're going to be up there? If it's soon enough, what if you're like, I know you said you're not doing much, but it's okay to insert a little white lie here. What if you were like, I actually have a little bit going on this weekend, but I plan on being up there again on this date or first weekend in May or whatever.
Let's grab brunch or whatever.
Yeah. I'd love to like get a drink with just you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like, I don't want to write him off completely. Like you said, like he's really sweet.
It's nothing with him.
No.
At all.
But if you're interested, I would also still make it known that you're interested.
Yeah. You don't want to fully reject him.
Right. Because then he'll just stop trying, which if you don't want him to stop trying, then
like, don't do that.
Right.
Right. It's tough.
Ooh. Or if in any scenario you do want him, if he does end up coming this weekend, what if you were like, yeah, I'm down for a little day vibe again, but I have something to do early Sunday, so it'll have to be an early night for us. So
that's a good.
Yeah. So like, it's clear he has to drive home. Or what if you were like, ooh, love this. What if you were like, are you sure you want to make the drive here and back all in one day and kind of like play?
Say that like you're assuming that was his plan.
Yeah.
But does that sound like she's going to be like, oh, then you should just stay with me?
He can't. If you're starting with that question, he can't assume. He's going to have to answer it before.
Before
he gets there.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that option.
Yeah.
Oh, I know how she feels though.
Cause let's hope he's not going to be like, well, can I just crash at yours? And if he does,
then there's your answer.
Yep. And just be like, no, sorry. That's kind of a lot for one weekend. I'll just see you next time I'm up there.
Yep. I do have a feeling it's slow.
Yeah. And then LA, right?
Well,
what's 2 hours south of slow?
She said that her home is up.
Oh, up.
So I was assuming like,
she's in slow.
No, I would think the college, because it said it's like a beachy college. It's either Santa Barbara or SLO.
And then, but what's 2 hours south?
I thought it was north.
Oh, so she lives in the Bay?
Probably.
Are you a Bay shoddy?
Hey! Well, just like,
let us know where you live.
Or it's like, well, I guess there's not, is there beaches on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Not like Florida. I'm talking about like, But it's like college beach town, I guess is what I should have said.
I'm sure there's a lot in the Carolinas on the water.
Right.
Yeah. That's I don't true. Know about specific colleges, but I'm sure. Yeah. My boyfriend went to Iona and it's right on.
Or what's the one? The one in Malibu that Zoe 101 was filmed at?
Pepperdine. Yeah.
That could be one too.
Pepperdine. It's as if you went to Pepperdine.
I'm like, represent. No, I think it's cool school though.
Yeah.
We got good grass.
Too school for cool.
Yeah. I wouldn't make it in there. I don't think.
Should we go back?
No.
I would thrive.
I don't want to go back to college right now.
Oh, I could go to college.
I could go to school, but I would not want to go to like the college experience right now.
Oh no.
I don't even think we'd be allowed to.
I don't even attribute college experience to school for me.
Like, I was just going off this entry.
Oh, I was going off Pepperdine.
We're not on the same vibe today.
I think rude.
Clearly.
The Hulk is turning into the green monster.
The Hulk is green.
Yeah, but green monster implies small.
Like a booger.
Yeah. Like, you know, the little green man that you take off your drink, yes, in King's Cup? In King's
Oh, I haven't played King's Cup in a minute. Just us?
Yeah.
Me, you, and Link? Link would be really, really bad at King's Cup. She doesn't have thumbs. All right, should we go?
Yeah.
We should go. I'm hungry.
I could eat.
Yeah, I feel like jittery from this coffee.
We should go get those steak sandwiches from Lulu's.
Do you have time?
I might have some time.
Because I would love that.
In like an hour.
Yeah. Lulu's in, where is it? New York City.
So on the like west side.
Yeah. I think it's like lower. It's just lower part. Loulou. Great steak sandwich. And then at night there's a speakeasy.
Yeah.
I've never been. But it's there if you want to go. It's named after a dog named Lulu.
Yeah, their icon's a cute little dog. All right, we're going to go, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to get a steak sandwich. We love you. Love you guys, and have a great week. And
if you don't know, we have a Patreon.
That too.
Where every Friday we do an extra episode for you guys, and sometimes it has to do with Monday's topic. A lot of the times it is just another advice column specifically for you guys. There's three tiers. Go check it out. Join us there if you would like.
And also, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, turn on your notifications, leave a comment down below. I'm looking at my nails. Leave a comment down below. There was something I asked. Oh, eczema solutions.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.